This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome everybody to the Safina Society Nothing But Facts live stream on a day in the great state of New Jersey, which we find it hard to believe that it's 78 degrees in November. So this is, I guess we can say, the qat'i evidence for global warming. Yasin, would you tend to agree with that? That this is the qat'i evidence of global warming? Shay Ajib. Yeah, come sit here so you can speak.
Normally it snows by December.
Hasn't rained in a long time, and forget snow. If it snows right now, that stuff is melting before it even hits the ground. That's how warm it is. We're brought to you by GRT, Global Relief Trust. Okay. Global Relief Trust is doing a great job sending the remaining Palestinian students who are in medical school before October 7th and sending them off to medical school in Uzbekistan, okay, Bilad al-Hind. So they're going to what language do they study medical school in India, in Pakistan? I'm sure it's English, right? Worldwide it's English. Yeah. All right, let's get to our tafsir, which is our subject today. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Ma afa'allahu ala rasulihi min ahli al-qura. Ya'ni min amwali kuffari ahli al-qura. Qala ibn Abbas, hiya Quraidha wal-Nadir wa Fadak wa Khaybar. Falillahi wa lil-rasuli wa lidhil-qurba wa al-yatama wa al-masakin wa ibn al-sabil. In Surah Al-Anfal, it talks about where spoils of war, ghanima, and fate should go. Inna mal al-fay' kana li Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hayatihi yada'u haythu yasha. So in his lifetime, the fate would go to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he spends it how he wishes. And he used to use this to support his large family. Okay. Mukhtalafa ahlu al-ilmi fi masrafi al-fay'i ba'da Rasulillah. The ulama differed on what to do with spoils of war afterwards, after the passing of Sayyid al-Kawnayn alayhi afdal salati wa taslim. Faqala qawmun. Some said, it's for the ummah. Shafi'i says, it's for the soldiers. Another said, for the benefit of the ummah. And then others said, it's in that order. For the soldiers first, and then after that, the needy of the ummah, and then the benefits of the ummah, and then on and on and on. Okay. And some said, the khumus of li ahli al-ghanima wa arba'at akhmasiha lil-muqatala wa lil-musal wa lil-masalih. So one-fifth is the khumus to be set aside, and then the rest is for the fighters. وذهب الأكثرون إلى أنه لا يخمس بل مصرف جميعه واحد. Others said that the fate, not the spoils of war, now the fate, is all of it has one place to go, and there's no fifth. There's no fifth 20% taken. I know some of the new Muslims, they're like, what's going on here? We have no clue what's going on. That's okay. Later in the live stream, we're going to talk about other things which you will have a grasp of. Not everything will be for one audience, right, or another. Some parts of the talk can be beneficial to one audience and not so for the other, for another demographic in the audience. So, but if everyone walks away with 70%, that's good. وذهب الأكثرون إلى أنه لا يخمس ولجميع المسلمين في حق فيه حق. قرأ عمر بن الخطاب ما أفاء الله على رسوله من أهل القرى حتى بلغ للفقراء والمهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانه. And then he said, هذه استوعبت المسلمين عامة. So عمر بن الخطاب said, the verse covers all Muslims. وقال ما على وجه الأرض مسلم إلا له في هذا الفيء حق إلا ما ملكت أيمانكم. He said that everything except for slaves is mentioned in this, and therefore everyone except for slaves has a right to the fate. All right. كي لا يكون دولة. Okay. And what does that mean? So that it's not only in one location. يعني بين الرؤساء والأقوياء. So that the wealth that comes in from these places does not just become circulated amongst the rich only, and that it would circulate amongst the poor too. كي لا يكون الفيء دولة بين الأغنياء. There's a typo in the book. الأغنياء والأقوياء. All right. So that what Sharia does not like is that wealth is restricted only. Yes, there's a difference between غنيمة and فيء, of course. Ghanima is the spoils of war. Fate is the wealth that comes from there. All right. And therefore, if it's only circulating to the rich, that harms everybody else. وذلك أن أهل الجاهلية كانوا إذا اغتنموا غنيمة أخذ الرئيس وربعها لنفسه. So the head of the army, the guy who did the planning, recruited the soldiers, did everything, he used to, in the Jahiliyyah, used to take a fourth of the spoils of war. Okay. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فجعله الله لرسوله يقسمها فيما أمر به ثم قال وما أتاكم أي الرسول فخذوه ما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. Right. Next ayah. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانه. There are three categories of Sahaba. The Sahaba are divided into three categories: Muhajirs, Ansar, and those who came after. What does that mean? The Muhajir are the people who became Muslim in Mecca or in their homeland, their city. Then they were kicked out of their city, or they had to migrate and change your whole life around. Those are called the migrants, the muhajirin, the emigrants. Then the ansar is the people who hosted the Muslims. So they're at the next level because they never suffered in their home. All the muhajirin, the migrants, they suffered in their home. They had to leave their home. It's not easy, especially in a tribal world. It's not easy to leave your home and leave your tribe and leave all your support group and everything like that. Just think about back in the day, if you wanted to eat meat, how hard it was. This was, remember, a lot of the Arab lands is like camping. There's no marketplace to go and just buy meat. There was in Medina because Medina was a city, but a lot of other places, there's no marketplace. Go and buy meat. Okay. So it took the whole family just to prepare a dinner. Right? And then the third group, although the Ansar, there was no suffering in their home or their home city, essentially they waged war. They're essentially waging war on the whole Arabian Peninsula, or we could say the opposite. The Arabian Peninsula is waging war against them. And then after the conquest of Mecca, there was no struggle and everyone wanted to enter Islam. So those believers suffered far less. So by the degree of their suffering that they had to go through to be Muslim, is their reward. So the muhajirin are the highest level of reward. From the muhajirin, which one are the highest? The ones who attended Badr. And from the Ansar, which are the highest? The ones who attended Badr as well. And from the after that, those who attended Uhud from each group. And then thereafter, those who attended Khandaq and so on and so forth. Because your greatness, your worthiness, your reward is all based on your sacrifice and suffering. And suffering is not something you could do to yourself. You can't go and say, all right, I'm going to increase my reward and make myself suffer. It's not how it works. It has to come to you. And it came to them. It did come to them. Let's look at this narration. It says here, عن فضيل بن غزوان عن أبي حازم عن أبي هريرة أن رجلا أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فاستضافه فبعث إلى نسائه هل عندكن من شيء. A man came to be the prophet's guest. He sent to his family, do you have any food? They said, ما معنا إلا الماء. They said, we have nothing but water. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يضم أو يضم أو يضيف هذا. Who will take this man as a guest? Host him. A man from the Ansar says, I will. So he went to his wife and he said, "We let's be generous to the guests of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." She said, "We have nothing except the food for the kids." He said, "Prepare it, ta'amaki wa asbihi sirajaki, turn your light off and put the kids to sleep and prepare the food. Prepare the food, shut the light off and put the kids to sleep." Okay? If they want food, إذا أرادوا عشاء فهيأت طعامها وأصبحت سراجها ونومت صبيانها. So she did that. Then she got up as if فجعل يريانها أنهما يأكلان. They shut the light off and then they began to just tap at the plate as if they were eating. Okay? As if they were eating. So the kids didn't eat. They didn't eat. They shut the light off so that the guest doesn't know that he didn't eat, and they fed all the food to the guest. See, this is why Allah and His Messenger love the Ansar. As we said earlier, that the Ansar, if you call for money, there's money, there's goods, there are new products here. Nobody moves. But if you say, hey, we need something, we all need help, they run to it. That's the Ansar. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ غَدًا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. What did the Prophet say? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laughed. ضحك الليلة أو عجب من أفعالكم. Is amazed by your action. Allah ta'ala revealed, ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. They give despite themselves, even if they have a need for it. Maybe the kids need it. They need it. Just imagine the idea of going to sleep without dinner. Most people can't imagine it. Can't even fathom the concept. Imagine your home doesn't have any food in it. Oogs. Imagine your home doesn't have any food in it. You just water. People be in shock. وَمَنْ يُقَشُحَ نَفْسِهِ أُولَيْكُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah gives us a formula for success. Very simple. Overcome your desires. Overcoming your desires really is the formula for all success. It makes total sense because everything that you want to do, you're going to need, it's going to fight against your desires. All goodness goes against desires. So, simple formula for success, simple habit for success, avoid desires. Raising kids, very simple formula for success. Watch their desires and always curb it a little bit. Curb it a little bit. I want this, okay, in 5 minutes, not right away. I want this in 10 minutes, not right away. I want this, not all of it, half of it. I want this, you can't. You can't. Simple as that. Sometimes you just can't. Sometimes the answer is just no. We're going out for a 10-minute errand. I got to take a little one with me. Oh, let's take a snack. But the errand is 10 minutes. It's a 5-minute errand, 15-minute errand. What do we need to take a snack for? This is a terrible habit. It's literally a terrible habit. Let's take a snack. We're going on a road trip? You know, snacks in the car used to be for road trips. Long road. We used to drive 2 hours to visit friends up in North Jersey. There's no idea bringing a snack with you. Snack, you're driving to Ohio. You're driving to Chicago. You're driving, you know, down to Florida. Then you take a snack. Now, you're going to pick up the kids from school? Take a snack. Shea Hajib, this is not a good habit. Yep. It's not a good habit. A little bit of roughness, but on a regular basis, really makes somebody strong. A little bit of roughness, but on a regular basis. Not so much roughness that you hate your life and you hate everything around you. No. Just a little bit of sandpaper, but on a regular basis, they get used to it and used to it and used to it. Then they go out into quote-unquote real life, which is, I mean, being at home is real life, but going out to deal with the rest of the world, you got far more sandpaper in you than everybody else. You're going to cream your competition. Your competition will be soft in comparison, be completely soft. So very small dosages, but at a regular basis of disliked things. That's all. That's really the summary of it. Things that are disliked. And things that are disliked, and it will increase over time without even realizing it, right? Take the garbage out. Eventually, that pile of garbage is bigger. Then take the recycling out. It's a bigger pile of recycling. Then one day, say, clean out the basement, and it's easy because it went little by little by little by little, right? And that's, you may yuqa shuhha nafsihi, hold your greed and your desire, right? Don't indulge it. Qashuha nafsi. Avoid it. Aqsama baynana an Abi Huraira qala qalat al-ansar lin-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the Prophet divided the palm trees amongst us. Aqsa, come in. They said no. Faqalu tukfuna al-ma'una wa nanshur نشرككم في الثمرة قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا. They said, at least give us some and divide the rest. They said, we listen and we obey. Hence Allah loves the saying سمعنا وأطعنا. If you want to know, to be honest, one of the most important features in tarbiyah and in our Islam and our deen is سمعنا وأطعنا. Submission. There's a whole section in the Tahawiyyah on the importance of taslim. Where is their thought and where is their submission? The thought is in my belief in Allah and His Messenger in the first place. We cannot make taqleed, blind imitation, in being Muslim. There's no taqleed in that. It doesn't have to be that you're writing a whole epistemological essay on why you're a Muslim, but you have to be convinced, and you're doing that on your own. In the furu'a, in the speculative matters, you choose a sheikh, and that's my sheikh, and that's my madhab. That's your choice. But in both cases, once you come into the Islam, make that decision, you submit, and you act upon. Now it's a time of learning what's said and acting upon it. I don't need to now review my decision afterwards. So, to give an example, person who enters Islam, you think about it, if God and His Prophet are actually true, that's what you think about. Then afterwards, once you've accepted that, after you've accepted that, then you simply accept the rules. You don't go and do a whole assessment of the rules and see if I'm going to accept it. That makes no sense. Does not make any sense. What makes sense is you choose your doctor first and then you accept it. You don't go and you look at all, let me look at all the rules. No, ask yourself, is the Prophet true? Right? Once you accept, yeah, the Prophet is true. Now the only question is, did he say it? Right? And the same thing for madhabs in furu'. Madhabs are in furu'. Furu' means this, the secondary matters that are not the primary basis of the faith that are up for discussion. Right? That's what a furu' are. And they have schools of thought on that, interpretations. But like, even in that, you don't go and look at every interpretation and say, okay, I'm gonna assess this. No, you look at simply the source, the interpreter. Who is the imam doing the interpretation? Do I accept him as the most worthy of interpretation? So that's how it operates. That's how you do it. So this is the importance of taslim. And at some point, everybody's got to learn taslim. But you got to learn where is brainwashing and where is taslim. The idea of brainwashing versus submission is that you're not allowed to think about certain things. A, you're not allowed to look at any contradictions within the source. Every person is invited to look at the Quran, look at the Prophet, peace be upon him, study it, examine it, and then make a decision. Yes, I believe this is God's Prophet. And then once you do, though, now there's a different kind of question you may ask. Next question you may ask is what's in the Quran actually what the people are saying it means? That's the second question you may ask. The third question you may ask is not why we do something, but what are some of the wisdoms behind it? And that's the difference between al-hikmah wal-illah. Hey, Omar, can you bring us our starboard banner, please? Our hikmah and illah. So some things the Sharia tells us directly, this is why it exists. Like, you don't drink so that you don't lose your intellect, okay? Right, so you can know what you're saying. حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. That was the first prohibition of alcohol in degrees, was that do not drink until you, or do not pray until you know what you're saying. That was the first prohibition. So you can only drink when there's no prayer. All right, then it was forbidden altogether. So there are ilal and there are hikam. Ilal are the legal reasons why. So if the legal reason is not there, then it's the prohibition is not there, right? If the legal cause is absent, the ruling is absent. But there are rules in Islam where God doesn't tell us the reason. Allah does not tell us the legal cause. Silk being forbidden. You know that silk, the idea of silk being forbidden was an old world thing. The Romans didn't allow men to wear silk at some point too. They said it resembles the clothing of women and it makes you soft. Maybe. That may be just a wisdom. But the Prophet didn't give us a legal cause of why silk is unlawful. Therefore, if you give me a material that is not silk, but it looks like silk, I can wear it. It's not silk. Maybe it's discouraged if people think I'm wearing silk and they'll say, this is a sinner. He's not wearing silk. Then my reputation will be smeared, maybe. And when we do that, we don't ask if they should do that or not, right? So you may say, well, they should have a good opinion of me and they shouldn't backbite me and they shouldn't say these things about me. That's true, but that's irrelevant. The Sharia judges on what could happen or likely to happen, whether they're sinful for that or not. You see? So yeah, nobody should say that. They should assume the best of their Muslim brother, but the Sharia doesn't go on the ideal. It goes on the real. Chances are people will do that, whether they should do that or not. They will say, we're not marrying this guy. We're not befriending this guy. He's not leading the prayer for us. This guy wears silk. Yeah, they're wrong in that false assumption. But because it's likely to happen, regardless, same thing with sinful things. We don't walk in certain streets because you'd likely see something sinful. You don't say, you should lower your gaze. Yeah, but chances are most people will fall into those sins if they're tempted to. So you avoid the thing altogether.
I think differentiating between the hikmah and the ilah would save so many people from like major errors. Yep. Like, so one example I give is traveler's prayer. Mm-hmm. A lot of like the older uncles and stuff, they say, you don't have to shorten it because like we're chilling, you know, it's only for hardship. But here's where this difference between hikmah and ilah like manifests, and you see like how it affects the ahkam. So the ilah in travel is the travel itself,
mm-hmm.
right? The hikmah is that, you know, shortening the prayer, like easing your burden and things like that.
Yep.
Right? That's not the ilah, that's the hikmah.
It's a hikmah.
So even if you're like you know, chilling and you have no hardship and travel and stuff like that, you still have to shorten it because the Ayla is the travel itself.
It's not a traveler. Was your mic on the whole time? Okay. Can you lift our screen up a bit? I slouch on this couch when it's comfortable. So the traveler's prayer, it's not about the hardship. It's just the fact that you're traveling. So I can travel on a five-star, go to a five-star hotel, be on a, you know, Emirates airline, one of these really fancy airlines, watch TV all the whole way there, eat. I mean, they stuff you. And some, hey, didn't you travel with us recently? Umrah? Yeah. One of these flights there, like Turkish Airlines, just stuffs you. They just bring in snacks out. No hour goes by without them bringing something out. You feel like, what the heck? I'm stuffed. I have to have Zuhud in the plane now. That doesn't change the fact that it is a sunnah to shorten the prayer. Okay. Wajib. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that is illah, legal cause, explicitly written by the, given by the Quran or the Sunnah. And then there is hikmah, which is the possible wisdom that we speculate about that, about the reason, like fasting. Why do we fast? To feel healthy, to feel the poor. You can have a whole month of Ramadan and you cannot have either of those things, right? So many people who are really, really healthy, they hardly eat anyway. They try to, you know, have these water fasts year round. Okay? So when Ramadan comes, they're not affected at all. So they don't feel hunger. And then there are some people who don't feel the poverty at all either. They sleep all day. They wake up and they binge all night. So what poverty did they feel? So those are maybe wisdoms, but they're not the legal cause. Ultimately, the legal cause is we stop eating simply for one reason, is that God commanded us to, right? That's it. Yahya ibn Sa'id sami'a Anas ibn Malik hina kharaja ma'ahu ila al-walid قال دعا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأنصار إلى أن يقطع لهم البحرين فقالوا لا إلا أن تقطع لإخواننا من المهاجرين مثلها قال ألا فاصبروا حتى تلقوني على الحوض فإنه سيصيبكم أثر بعدي. The Prophet called the Ansar and said, let me split some wealth for you, give you some wealth, cut some wealth for you. The Prophet ﷺ, they said, look at the response. Not until you include the migrants with us. That's why the Prophet loved these people, the Ansar. Right? Don't give us anything. If you're going to give us something, give everyone else something too. Okay? Give everyone else something too. The Prophet ﷺ said to them, have patience until you meet me at the fountain, for hardship will come to you. Right. That was for those specific people, because the Prophet loved them so much, he wanted them to be patient, that hardship is coming. Shay Ajib. You see that there's a video out there recently of three kids doing trick-or-treating, and I guess maybe it was late at night or something, and the basket was empty at the people's door. Sometimes people leave a basket at the door, and the bowl there had no candy in it. And these people who were there, they published this from the Ring. And they saw that the kids said, oh, shoot, there's no candy in it. Let's leave some candy for the next kids that are going to come. And they took some of their own candy and put it in the bowl. Right? It's a great video, isn't it? I mean, they're just kids. So clearly their parents taught them well. Where are they going to learn something like that except for their parents? So each one put a... I love that one kid. They all put some candy from themselves for the other kids. And then one kid, he saw something he liked and he took it back. That's why the Ansar are loved. They don't want for themselves all the time. They're always thinking of others. Hence, the hisab on them is so easy. like they're when they get taken to account, it's very light when people are that good and decent and generous. وروي عن ابن عباس قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم النضير للأنصار. On the day that they had that issue with the Bani Nadir, the Prophet said to the Ansar, إن شئتم قسمتم للمهاجرين من أموالكم ودياركم وتشاركونهم في هذه الغنيمة. If you wish, you can get a portion of these spoils of war and divide up your own wealth with the Muhajirin. Or the opposite. Keep your wealth and your homes. Leave that. And don't take anything of the ghanima. So the spoils of war. So either way, you're going to end up the same. You either give some of your wealth to the Muhajirin and take some of the spoils of war. Or don't give away your wealth and don't take from the spoils of war. Yep. The Ansar said, بَلْ نَقْسِمُ لَهُمْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِنَا وَدِيَارِنَا وَنُؤْثِرُهُمْ بِالْغَنِيمَةِ وَلَا نُشَارِكُمْ فِيهَا. Subhanallah. They said, Messenger of Allah, we're going to give them some of our wealth and leave the whole spoils of war to them too. Subhanallah. Hence Allah Ta'ala revealed, وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. You see how much generosity that they had? يؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. They give even if they have a need. Therefore, someone said that giving when you don't have a need is less reward than when you have a need. Of course, when you have a need and you give, you have more reward, no doubt about that. And Sayyidina Ali is the one who said, when you give after being asked, it's adab. It's just manners. It's not charity. It's just manners. Of course, it is charity, but he's saying min mubalagha, this is just being polite. Rather, true charity is that you go around looking for the poor and noticing, oh my, this guy's had a hole in his shoes for the last month. Let me drop some money in his pocket while he's not looking. Right? Something like that. Let me just put an envelope of cash in his mailbox. Just say gift on it. Stick it in his mailbox. Like that. The secret sadaqah is what makes the poor, it deflates the envy out of their hearts from the rich. Because the natural reality between rich and poor is that the poor will envy the rich. How can you share a masjid? See, most people don't have a shared space, right? The poor, the third space of the poor, there's work, home, and there's a third space where you socialize. The third space of the poor is like some dingy bar. The third space of the rich used to be like a country club, but it's still, they have these fitness clubs that are like ridiculous, $600 a month. And you just go there, get on a machine, there's some snacks, there's some food, there's a massage, whatever. $600 sometimes more too, by the way. $2,000, $3,000 a month, right? So they still separate. They don't hang out in the same space. Well, in Islam, that's not the case. In Islam, you hang out in the same place. You go pray in the same masjid. So someone's riding up in a rickety Honda, another person's coming on a bicycle, another person's walking, and another person's coming in an Audi, another person's coming in a SUV, Mercedes, another person's got a driver, and you're all praying in the same masjid. So what's happening? Allah has done this for a reason. So you all see each other. It's a test and a benefit. It's a test for both. You're coming in your Mercedes SUV and parking. You pay $800 a month for your lease or your car payment. And you're praying next to a guy who has been praying with the same outfit on for the last week. So Allah wants us to notice people. There's this idea, okay, don't look at anyone and pray. That's good to a degree. There's a time and place for that, but there's also a time for do notice everybody. You have wealth, you should be noticing everyone around you. Take notice who has holes in his socks, whose kids have holes in their pants, whose kids you can tell where this stuff was bought. You can tell this shoe is not even worth $10. And you could tell other people when they buy their kids those ridiculous, ugly-looking Yeezys for $300. Piece of plastic, flip-flop. Looks like it's made out of marshmallows, and it's $300. That just tells you something, right? So, well, that tells you that that person doesn't need sadaqah. And it tells you another person does need. Look at, when you pray, look at the socks of this guy. You can notice these things, and the rich should notice them. And they should take the initiative to find a way to get that person a gift of money. It's not have to be a lot. $50 can go a long way for people, $100, in a way that they don't feel it. You can go to the masjid administrator and say, listen, that person over there, just give them this envelope and don't say who. Anonymous. The muezzin, the front row brothers at the front row, they know everybody. They see everybody all the time. And they simply say, here, a gift from one of the musallis. Oh, who is it? No, don't say it. It's just a gift. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Okay. What's embarrassing? I don't want it to be awkward. Poverty's more awkward. Poverty's worse. So it's not awkward, number one. Poverty's more awkward, right? You just go up to the administrator and say, you see that guy over there? Just slip this in his pocket. Give it to him. Tell him it's an anonymous brother. Give it to him. How hard is that? You swing by the ATM, you pull out a couple hundreds. You give it, some people, if you earn, let's say, 50, 60, 70, 80K a month, I'm telling you, you can all make that amount of money. It is not hard to make that amount of money. You just have to follow certain principles, and you have to have sabr and focus, and you have to go against your desires, and you have to take a mentor. But you can get to that amount of money. It may not be overnight. It may take you 5, 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, but you will get, you can easily get to that if you follow certain spiritual and worldly principles. But if you're making 80K a month, then your sadaqah can be $1,000 a month. What is it really the difference between 79 and 80,000 a month? It's nothing. So imagine now you go to the bank every time, every beginning of the month. You know, these, well, at that point, you don't have a beginning and end of the month because you're earning from like 10 different places. So you just click on the ATM machine, $1,000 withdrawal in hundreds. Okay? And you stack them, you put them in envelopes or in a piece of paper. You go to the muezzin every few days. You see that brother over there? Just slip this in his pocket. Tell him it's a gift from an anonymous source. This is how the function of why the Prophet ﷺ said it's better to pray in jama'ah. It's by focus, intention, and sincerity. It's far better to pray alone. But Islam is not just focusing on your own spirituality. It's focusing on the bodies of other people, the wealth of other people, the well-being of other people. Hence, it's greater to pray in the mosque so that you can see other people. When you have, I'm telling you, if you become somebody who prays regularly in the masjid, you will eat so much for free. The amount of food that just gets passed around, right? All of these benefits, I'm telling you. So many benefits, but it's up for the rich. It's up to the rich to be aware. To be aware. This is not even zakah. This is sadaqah. In the realm of sadaqah, the rich have to keep their eye out, okay, and notice. And it is a test. This shared space of the mosque between the rich and poor is a test for the poor too. Don't have envy. This is the qisma of Allah. Allah's divided the wealth like this. And we can also say one of the ways in which maybe you are to blame too. Poverty is not always, it's not always based in innocence. It could be and it could not be. It's your decisions. You decided to go into poetry as a major. Nobody forced you to do this. Your best childhood friend, he said, you know what, I'm going to go into dentistry. And you all live the same way, and you don't realize any difference in that one decision. Until you're now hitting the age of 20 and 30, you're living like this now. Your poetry, this is what it got you. Crumbs. And dentistry, you said, this is so boring. You're just, you know, a laborer, but at a higher level, that's it. I mean, our dentist always makes fun of himself. We're just like high-level skilled laborers, that's it. what is a the we always I always joke around with the gastroenterologists, the guy who study the people who do stomachs and intestines, and I always introduce them. It's funny when I see them. There's a third person we don't know. I said, hey, this is a plumber. He is a plumber. He's just a plumber for humans, right? So that's why he's making 30 times more than a plumber for toilets. But it's for the poor not to envy the rich, and maybe you'll learn something from them. Maybe you'll get a job from them, and maybe you'll start to ask a question. Hey, how did you get like this? I wouldn't mind a six-figure salary as a monthly basis, right? As a monthly salary, six figures. Person makes six figures over 2 years. Another person makes six figures in a month. So why don't you learn something, right? That's why the third space that is shared between rich and poor, those are the wisdoms behind it. If that's implemented, you don't have socialism and Marxism as revolutions of like jealousy. That's really like anger and hatred, injustices, rich not being just to the poor, poor having no spiritual teaching. Well, that is amazing from the Ansar. They said to the Prophet ﷺ, we will give them some of our wealth and give them the whole spoils of war of Bani Nadir. Subhanallah. Ash-shuh is stinginess. That's shuh. Stingy. Some said there's a difference between shuh and bukhl. وَفَرَّقَ الْعُلَمَاءَ بَيْنَ الشُّحِ وَالْبُخْلِ. Right? Some said one is desire and the other is stinginess. A little bit of a difference. Okay. رُوِيَ أَنَّ رَجُلًا قَالَ لِعَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ أَكُونَ قَدْ هَلَكْتْ. A man said to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, I fear I've destroyed myself. فَقَالَ وَمَا ذَاكَ. He said, what's that for? He said, I hear Allah saying in the Quran, وَمَن يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever fights their greed and desire, they're the successful ones. And I am shahih, shahih, between stinginess and greedy for more. By the way, greedy for more, fadl of Allah ta'ala is acceptable if you're going through the right channels, which is dua and taslim to Allah's will and dua. لا يكاد يخرج من يدي شيء. He says, nothing ever comes out of my hands. Like, I'm so greedy. Like, I'm stingy. I never give sadaqah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says, ليس ذاك بالشح. This is not shuh. ولكن الشح أن تأكل مال أخيك ظلما. Shuh is to take wealth oppressively. Okay? ولكن ذلك البخل. وَبِئْسَ الشَّيْءُ الْبُخْلُ. But what you're suffering is stinginess. So shuh is to take people's wealth illegally, unlawfully. But what you're suffering from, you never give, is bukhl. If you ever, you want a trick? This is for our souls, we should really do this. Any single time that you see a charity, that you see a call for charity, sign up for it with your debit card for $2. That's it. It just gets your wheel going. Don't ever underestimate it. You need to get your wheel going, right? Get your wheel going. You know that saying, do a push-up a day? Because you just get used to going down on the ground doing the push-up, but you never actually will end up, eventually you'll be doing like 100 a day. Because you get yourself used to it. You become so used to it. You marinate in the push-up. You are in the act. That's the key. Ibn Umar says, ليس الشح أن يمنع الرجل ماله إنما الشح أن يطمح عين الرجل إلى ما ليس له. Shuh is not that you don't give. Shuh is that you want what's not yours lawfully. الشح هو أخذ الحرام, says سعيد بن الجبير, ومنع الزكاة, taking wealth unlawfully and not giving out what is obligatory. Because zakah money is not yours, by the way. So it is this type of theft. Zakah money, as soon as you have zakah applicable to wealth, that money technically is not yours anymore. Let's say I have $200,000 at the end of the year that I have to pay in zakah. That money is not mine. If I keep it, I've stolen from the poor. الشح والحرص الشديد الذي يحمله على ارتكاب المحارم. Others said, and I like this definition, shuh is the not an act, but it's the feeling of coveting money so much that spills you over into haram. Therefore, the haram, the sinful act, becomes the result of shuh, the inevitable result of shuh. Ibn Zayd said, من لم يأخذ شيئا نهاه الله عنه ولم يدع الشح إلى أن يمنع شيئا من ما أمر الله به فقد وقاه شح نفسه. As long as you don't steal wealth that's not yours and you don't stop giving the zakah that you have to give, you don't have shuh. Okay. اتقوا الظلم فإن الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة واتقوا الشح فإن الشح أهلك من كان قبلكم لا يجتمع غبار في سبيل الله ودخان جهنم. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, for those who are sincere, the dust of the fight, of the battle, and the smoke of the hellfire never meet in one person. So that when you go into battle, and we're talking about the old days, not today's remote control battles, the old days, and really some of the Palestinians today, the way they're fighting on the ground, literally by themselves, like with their bodies, I mean, in the middle of the fight, that smoke and the ash and the smoke of hellfire, they don't meet in the same person. It's time for Q&A. We only have two segments today. Tafsir, Q&A. We're going old school. Oh, we have a third segment. All right, fire it up, Omar, while I pull up these questions. Kenneth Leachman wants a mentor. Right now, Starboard is for marriage mentors, but we will eventually, in the future, I can't make any promises right now, but in the future, it will go to other forms of mentorship as well. In the Maliki Madhab, is it permissible in the third and fourth rak'ah of Fard Salah, instead of reciting Fatiha, to say Subhanallah three times, then go to Rukua? Fatiha is Fard for the person who is praying by himself or is the Imam. Cannot say Subhanallah three times. All right, what do we have here? One of our own guys from New Jersey, Alian Uthmani. Click. Volume on.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Hamdan yuafi ni'amahu wa yukafi'u mazidah. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد نشكر المولى سبحانه وتعالى لحضورنا في هذا المجلس المبارك في هذا المكان المبارك. My name is Alian Uthmani and I came from America 4 months ago.
اسمي Alian Uthmani.
And there is our guy.
قبل أربع أشهر.
That's Alian.
Some of you have been to Jersey, you know him. In America, my parents came many years ago for college and stayed since then.
نشأت عمري كله في أمريكا. أبي وأمي جاءوا ليدرسوا في الجامعة ومكثوا في أمريكا من ساعتها.
They worked very hard to give us a very comfortable life in America.
اجتهدوا من أجل توفير حياة مريحة لنا في أمريكا.
When I told people I was going to come to Yemen to study, they were confused. They asked me, why do you want to go back in time?
عندما أخبرت الناس أني ذاهب إلى اليمن للدراسة, وجدتهم متحيرين. قالوا, لماذا تريد أن ترجع إلى الخلف في الزمان وتعيش مع هؤلاء?
America may have a lot of luxuries, electricity, cars, big buildings, but it lacks the most essential part of being a human being, and that's recognition of our slavehood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
نعم أمريكا قد يكون فيها مظاهر رفاهية من سيارات والكهرباء لا تنقطع والعمائر الكبيرة لكن ينقصهم أهم شيء للإنسانية وهي إدراكهم بالعبودية لله سبحانه وتعالى
Amazing.
كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون وقال خلق الإنسان ضعيفا All of these luxuries are in reality a veil.
وكل هذه الرفاهيات في الحقيقة هي حجب.
How is it that people there have so much money, so many things, but they're still depressed?
Mm.
They still have anxiety and they're suicidal.
كيف عندهم المال الكثير وعندهم ما ليس عند غيرهم ومع ذلك الاكتئاب فيهم والقلق فيهم ونسب الانتحار عالية فيهم؟
For us Muslims, the answer is very simple. Happiness and pleasure only comes from Allah and the Nur of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
نحن المسلمون الإجابة بسيطة وسهلة. الرضا والقناعة والسعادة لا يأتي إلا من الله سبحانه وتعالى ونور نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Nur of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removes all anxiety and worry and stress.
بل نور النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يزيل كل قلق وكل توتر.
I grew up around Muslims and I went to an Islamic school where we were taught all the basics of the deen, alhamdulillah.
نشأت حول المسلمين ودرست في مدرسة إسلامية وتعلمت فيها بدائيات الإسلام.
But due to my weakness, I always felt like I was just doing movements and motions and that there was no real meaning to it.
لكن لضعفي شعرت أني أقوم بمظاهر خارجية ولا معنى حقيقي له.
While I was in college, I started taking classes in our masjid with our Imam Dr. Shadi al-Masri, حفظه الله تعالى.
We got a shout out.
وأنا في الجامعة بدأت أحضر دروس في المسجد مع الدكتور شادي المصري حفظه الله تعالى.
He's someone who benefited from Tarim immensely.
وهو ممن استفاد كثيرا من بلد تريم المباركة.
He helped me to realize that Islam is much more than just movements and motions. It has a much deeper internal reality and it has a living sanad back to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
أعانني كثيرا الدكتور شادي فأن أدرك أن الإسلام ليس فقط مظاهر وحركات خارجية بل لها معاني عميقة متصلة السند للنبي الأعظم صلى الله عليه وسلم.
He introduced me to this path about 5 years ago, and ever since then I've been longing to be in this majlis with you guys.
وعرفني على هذا المسلك قبل 5 سنوات، ومن حينها وأنا أشتاق لأكون معكم في هذا المكان.
It always just seemed like a dream that would never come true.
لكن كنت أشعر أنه مجرد حلم ولا يمكن تحقيقه.
سبحان الله.
Until about 2 years ago, I went on a trip to Umrah with Dr. Shadi al-Masri.
حتى ذهبنا إلى العمرة مع الدكتور شادي قبل سنتين.
While we were there, we met some of the Habaib, like Habib Ubaidullah al-Attas and Habib Muhammad al-Saqaf al-Jadda, رحمهم الله تعالى وحفظهم الله تعالى.
ونحن في العمرة التقيت ببعض الحبايب مثل سيد الحبيب عبيد الله العطاس والحبيب محمد بن عبد الرحمن السقاف في جدة الله يحفظهم جميعا.
This was the first time I had ever met Habaib in real life and it was a very surreal experience.
وكان أول مرة ألتقي بأحد من الحبايب في حياتي وكان التقاء جميل جدا.
While we were in Medina, we had heard that Habib Kazim was also in Medina at the same time.
وعندما وصلنا إلى المدينة سمعنا خبر أن سيد الحبيب كاظم كذلك معنا في المدينة.
One morning after Fajr, I got a call, and my friend told me that Habib Kaظم was in Jannatul Baqi'.
وبعد صلاة الفجر في يوم من الأيام اتصل علي أحد أصدقائي.
But everyone can see the link and the videos are there. MashaAllah, amazing. And we're going to see him inshallah in December. The Dota to Tarim, we're all going. A bunch of us are going to the Dota in Tarim this winter break. Omar, you can fire up the website for that for people to sign up. Dota. We're going on two trips, actually. One is local, Chicago. Dar es Salaam Winter Intensive. If you all want to go to that, we're not just we're going as a community caravan. I mean, taking the flight, but these guys are taking, well, I got people with me, but these guys are taking a big van, a big 15-seater or two. So you guys are going to be leaving Friday, December 21st. I don't know, Friday morning. No Juma for you guys. Friday. Uga, you coming to that? Yasin, you coming to that? And... Yeah, another road trip. What's the map? I'm going to open up a map.
It takes a while to get to Chicago. It's like 2-day drive.
Huh? Chicago?
It's like 12 hours.
Yeah, it's long. I'll open the map. Let's see. Type in Jersey. Type in NBIC to Dar es Salaam. NBIC to Dar es Salaam. Yeah. You guys should leave at Fedge. Take one break. And then keep driving. Take a second break. Short, very short coffee break. And then go. How many hours? 12 hours? Listen.
It can be done.
12 hours.
It's
A bus. It's a minibus of 15 people. If you go in the middle of the day, though, and then you all stop at a hotel, at a motel, right? That's the weaker way to do it, right? But if you guys are on a bus of 15 guys and you take two breaks, the whole total will be 15 hours, but it won't feel that bad. Yeah. So I'll see you guys there. You guys all... No, I got Tajuddin and I got other people with me. Right. Starboardmarriage.com works. Yes, it works. Who says it doesn't work? Starboardmarriage.com. Type in your look in your. I'm on it right now. Look up how you spelt it. That's why. Okay. My supervisor is Jewish. How can I explain the verse of all men? You will find the Jews and those who associate others with Allah, his divinity, to be the most hostile to those who believe. I mean, you don't have to explain it. You just have to do your job and go home. But if you did get there, any verse like that is in general, right? And do we need to explain it? Why don't you open the TV? Why don't you go to Twitter, Instagram? You see it happening. You see it happening, right? So that's how you explain it. It's in general and not absolute, okay? It's in general because the Crusaders... We're not so nice to us. As the Quran says, though, the nicest to you will be the people who had some mawadda will be the Catholics. Well, the French were not so nice to us, right? In our history. So there's exceptions, of course, in general and with exceptions. How to manage the fluctuations in Iman and to be more consistent with Nawafil, says Irtida Arif. And the best thing is it's through habits. It's through habits. So going to the masjid regularly helps Iman not fluctuate, so that if you tell yourself, I'm going to go to the masjid at least for three prayers in the week, and that's not a lot, right? But at least is better than nothing. I'll go on Monday night when I'm off. I'll go on Saturday afternoon when I'm off, and I'll go to a class on Sunday. Wonderful. So Iqbal, you see the statement about the Jews is in general. It's not all of them are going to be like this. Well, you can also show them another verse of Quran. Minhum man in ta'manhu biqintarin yu'addihi ilayk. Why don't you show him the opposite verse, which says there are some people from the people of the book, including Jews. You can trust him with a mountain of gold, and you can trust him. He'll watch it for you. So there's those two. Laysu sawa. So Iqbal, also show him Allah saying, Laysu sawa. They're not the same. It's the same verse. They're not all the same. We don't have a one blanket statement of kuffar that they're all like this. Okay. Why don't you show him the fact that a Muslim can marry a Jewish woman or Christian woman also tells you something, right? Because marriage is made for mawadda. It's made for good feelings and love and all that. So therefore, if Allah permits it to a Jew and Christian woman, wife, as a wife, then it's assuming that that's going to be there. That means she's also very good to you too. Right? So that's how you answer that, Iqbal. By looking at the summary, look at all the evidences and all the statements about Jews and Christians in order to form a conclusion. Okay? Is a boxer's income halal? No, it's not. It's not. Hurting people is not lawful. Wrestling was made lawful by the Prophet ﷺ. There's no severe pain in that, nor are you bursting arteries or breaking bones. You are doing that in boxing, and especially hitting the face. Can you explain Surah 5, Ayah 9? Surah Al-Ma'idah. هاتنا نشوف التفسير. We're not going to explain anything from ourselves. Let's go to the tafsir. Right? Surah Al-Ma'idah. Oh, why don't we just look here? Baghawi's tafsir right here. Open it up for us. Okay. My older sister is a cat owner and she keeps them locked in a small room but provides necessities. Makruh. It's not sinful. It's makruh. Discouraged only. Okay. It's makruh.
We said that
it's what's sinful is not giving them their needs and to trap them from being able to wander as Allah created them to be free. Allah created them free. You can't trap them. When we first discovered these animals, where did we discover them? In nature. Animals are meant to be free, and that's where it's discouraged to take those animals as pets, provided, unless you let them roam outside and then risk getting fleas if you want. That's up to you. وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. What's the problem here? Why does this need a tafsir? What's the question on that? Allah promised those who believe and do righteous deeds forgiveness and a great reward in the afterlife. ما وجه السؤال? What's the aspect of the question here? All right, answer that for the person. Abdullah says, man with kids, got 80K job offer, double current job, but new job doesn't have Friday off like current job. It's at a Catholic university, and he can pray Jumu'ah there on the campus. Yes, do that, no problem. Would you get a lunch hour. Everyone gets lunch. You don't have to say, can I go pray Jumu'ah? I need a lunch hour, right? And you tell him, what do I get? A lunch hour once, 1 hour a day. All right, so how about this? Thursday, I only take a 15-minute lunch hour. And Friday, I take an hour and 45 minutes. There's a lot of ways to do it. I don't think they could stop you from praying Jummah. There are laws on this stuff. And anyway, you're going at lunch hour anyway. So, yes, you should take it. Go for what benefits yourself and make the Jummah happen. You can make it happen. There's no way they're going to deny you Jummah. It's not even allowed for them. This is a unique country. You go to France, they'll laugh at you. So America's a unique country in this respect. Should we think while making a dua, which is consistent from 2 years, that maybe this would be my test to check if I submit to the will of Allah? No, it's just a test of patience and a test of persistence. And you must follow what the Prophet said. Pray, believing with absolute certainty that Allah will answer you. Ud'u Allaha wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. That's what we're commanded to do. That's what we are commanded to do. We are commanded to supplicate, believing absolutely that Allah is going to give us it. If we make dua and we have a doubt in our minds, he's not going to give it to me. You haven't fulfilled the rights of dua. You haven't fulfilled God's rights, and you haven't fulfilled Allah's rights, and you have su'a dhanni billah. You are right now having su'a dhanni billah. You're having a bad opinion of Allah Ta'ala. And you're sinful for that. You know that? And the punishment of that sin, your dua won't be answered. You have a bad opinion of Allah. Right? So do not have a bad opinion of Allah. Do exactly as the Prophet said. Make dua. Well, absolute certainty he's going to answer this dua. If it's a wrong dua, Allah will turn your heart. A lot of good questions here today. So, Muhammad Wani, I don't understand. Surah 5, Ayah 9 has no mention of apartheid in it at all. I think you got the surahs wrong. Zahra Al-Gawhari says, my daughter's 7 years old. Big fan of the stream. Well done, young lady. Seven-year-olds like the stream. That means, I guess, the English is easy enough for them to understand. Would like to have an explanation on why she wasn't allowed to go to the Halloween school disco. 7-year-old girl wants to go to Halloween. I have to tell you, young lady, that Halloween is one of those holidays that originated from another religion. And it originated as the night before All Saints Day in the Catholic faith. It used to be a Catholic holiday, just like Christmas and Easter. And they used to celebrate the saints, who they call saints. Then for somehow, I don't know how, the night before became associated with the graves and the spirits. And then eventually it became warped into ghosts, demons, and nakedness. So that's why Muslims don't celebrate Halloween. Yeah.
From Serbia. And then someone said happy Halloween, then he got pissed. He's like, oh, it's worshiping the devil.
It is devilish and demonic. It's not dressing up like cops and robbers like the old days when I was growing up. I mean, that's what it was. You dress up as Spider-Man, you dress up as a cop, you dress up as you dress up as an athlete, right? Okay. The brother says he didn't mean Ayah 9, he meant Ayah 19. So let's read this. Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O people of the book. قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولُنَا Our messenger has come. يُبَيِّنُ لَكُمْ عَلَى فَتْرَةٍ مِّنَ الرُّسُلِ To clarify to you, to correct your understanding after a long gap between messengers. أَنْ تَقُولُوا مَا جَاءَنَا مِنْ بَشِيرٍ وَلَا نَذِيرٍ So that you do not say, we never got a warning. فَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَشِيرٍ وَنَذِيرٍ You have a warning. And you have someone to give you the good news about what is the correct beliefs and about paradise. Okay? قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَشِيرٌ وَنَذِيرٌ اللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ Maybe you're talking about Ayah 21. يَا قَوْمَ دُخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ O people, says Moses, my people, go into the Holy Land. Allah has written it for you. Yeah? What about that? That has to do with Moses in his time. That was abrogated and abolished later on afterwards. That's this historical moment, a command at that time. So, Mr. Muhammad Wani, kindly enter into the chat and explain to me again, what is the angle of the question here? Yes, Allah commanded Moses and his army that land. That doesn't mean the deed lasts forever from God. You can nullify it. Salim Ocasio, can you give insight on what it might mean for a person who seems to have all their dua answered with regard to trivial things, but dua and tahajjud for a year plus is not answered? Could it be a sign that ijaba will come? Okay. Why don't I put it like this? It takes 4 years to get a high school diploma and 4 years to get a bachelor's degree. And 2 years to get a master's, and 7 years to get a PhD, and 4 years to get a medical degree, and 4 years to do your residency. All this time to get to do work. Now you get to live as a doctor and work your tail off. That's the reward that you get, to do more work. Of course, to reap the wealth of that money, but doctors these days are getting scammed anyway by insurances. Point being, is sabr, sabr, sabr. To not have a su' al-dhanni billah. Why do I say this? Am I selling you a false dream? No. Am I selling you a pipe dream? No. We're following the Prophet. That's it. Someone here? No? We're following Sayyid al-Kawnain's commandments. Do not stop. You receive the reward of your dua, provided that you don't stop. Make dua while certain that you will get an answer. Just do not stop. You see that stubborn streak that some people have? We should grow it in ourselves by remembering the divine command. Some people naturally have it. Some people, their environment made them persistent and stubborn. Their life experience. Some people know. We learn it by following revelation. Allah's messenger told me not to stop, and he commanded me to have certainty that I'm going to get my answer. But the timing is with Allah, not with me. That's where I'm going to pause. The timing is with Allah. Also, that our Lord may edit our dua a little bit. Okay, you ask for a blue Mercedes, you get a black one. Right? You ask for a house in one city, you get a better city. Or you get a city next to it. Allah knows why that happened. Okay? But you in your heart will feel, you will feel that my dua has been answered. And you will admit it and you will be thankful. That's the sign that your dua was prayed. All I can tell you, let's just follow what the Prophet said. That's the guarantee. He said, don't stop. And he said, have certainty that the dua is answered. That's the way to go. That's the only way to go. Okay. What are some of the best practices while in Medina? Best practice in Medina is to not spend too much time doing pretty much anything other than being in the masjid. Being in Masjid an-Nabawi. Don't spend too much time on anything else. Anything else, you can get it outside of Masjid an-Nabawi. Outside of Medina. For Malikis, do they do Umrah again if they exit the Miqat and re-enter again? The answer is no. In Maliki Madhab, we do not encourage, in the Madhab, multiple Umrahs per trip. We don't even encourage multiple Umrahs per year so that the ta'zim of Umrah could stay high. You know, if you just keep always doing it, it may drop. It's not the way the Sahaba did things. Suleiman Tariq says, what's your opinion on Karen Armstrong? She is one of the friendliest people towards Muslims. I wish that, you know, to extend her the invitation to enter Islam. She is more on the, what's called the perennialist side of things. The perennialist side of things, which is basically, she is non-committal on what is true and what is false. And she never speaks ill of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I hope that at the end of her life, now she's very old now. May Allah grant her guidance. In a time where everyone ganged up on Muslims, she didn't. In a time after 9/11 that she could have profited a lot, she could have made a lot of money being an enemy to Muslims and saying, look at these people, they have jihad and they're all this and that and the other, as if the Western nations don't have militaries. But she didn't do that. So may Allah guide her. Here is Muhammad Wani's question. The person was saying that even the Quran is saying the land belongs to Jews. I was struggling to counter argument. That was my point. So yeah, so I answered it. So God is talking to Moses years and centuries ago. And all of that was nullified later on. In the time of Solomon, right after Solomon, it was nullified. In their own book, the seven song, the three promises and the three oaths of Solomon. So their entire, all of their gifts from God, including the land, was nullified with their rejection of Jesus. Now you have no right to anything. Everything that God had guaranteed you, God had given you, the moment you rejected Jesus, that was the final straw. All of your rejection of past prophets was bad. But this puts it over the top. Okay. That was the final straw, that the oath between us is broken. The covenant was broken. So yes, that was in the past. Same answer as the other person who said about verses about Jews. You have to look at all of the verses. All the verses. maybe Omar, the better word is greed, since we're not referring here to like sexual desires. Yeah, greed is good as a word. How should the relationship with a Mursid family member be? What if they flip-flop in belief? Says Flossie B. We're not allowed to have a relationship with an open Murtad. That means somebody who officially is telling you, I'm out of Islam. That's an apostate and a Murtad. We have no relationship with them. No relations. Okay. Jamie Adams says, are mullets halal? We talked about the hair that what is discouraged is shaving part one side and leaving the other in a way that's uneven, that is not symmetrical, uneven, but fades. In the Hanafi school, the skin is the issue, not to go to the skin, but a light fade, like it could be very light on one end. And the Maliki Madhab holds that what is discouraged, all of it's discouraged, none of it's unlawful, it's discouraged, is that which the head is completely like uneven, right? Completely shaved on one side and long on the other, but where it's even and it's clean and crisp and symmetrical, that inshallah ta'ala is not qaza, according to the fuqaha. Qaza came when the Prophet ﷺ saw a woman shaved half the head and left the other half. So it was an uneven haircut. The Prophet ﷺ said, shave it all or leave it all, meaning that make the haircut even, make the hair even. So that's the answer to that question. You get a mullet and a mustache and a pickup truck. At that point, maybe you're going into something discouraged for other reasons. I forgot to do sajda sahu. What do I do? Which sajda sahu? For missing something or for adding something? If it's for adding something, you could do the whole thing now. If it's for missing, if it's a sahu that you miss something, then khalas, if you time passed and you didn't do the sahu, and you because you forgot, not because you intentionally did it, then there's nothing to do. Man nasiya sajda sahu. That you're asking a question that's one of those questions that you teach it once a year. Man nasiya sahu al qabli. Now you're gonna make me double check myself. It's in akhdari too. You have akhdari on you, Yasin? Akhdari, you have it on you? Or Ibn Ashir, open it up. Man nasiya as-sahw al-qabli.
No, I'm in Sheikh Murabit's legacy thing. He's doing the matun.org. I'm in the legacy, so I have access to everything. So I have access to the Maliki Fiqh class, even though I'm not in.
ترك قراءة الفاتحة السهو عن شيء من أذكار الصلاة من تذكر شيئا بقي على الصلاة حد يسير الشك في السهو حكم قضاء الصلاة من سيء الفائتة ومن استنكحه الشك فإن كثر ذلك منه فهو يتعرض. Open up Ibn Ashir for us. It's also in Ashmawiyah too. من نسي القبلي. All right, we'll look it up, find the answer for you. I mean, it's an easy مسألة to find in there. original three books. Hat, go. Here's a question. Thoughts on the protocols of the Elders of Zion? No, I don't know if what's original in it and what's authentic and what's not. I couldn't tell you. Thoughts on the... Pull it up. Yeah. Is allowed for niqabi woman to not show her face to her future husband in a rishta meeting, even though she feels positive about the proposal. That's really up to the husband if he's accepting that or not. Okay? Go to the Sahu chapter here. He's it's up to him, really. If he wants to marry someone he doesn't know what she looks like, he may do that. If he doesn't, he may do that too. Joining the feet, in the Maliki opinion, it's the shoulders, not the feet. I feel pride and riya. I fear pride and riya. So when I feel I did good, I say, la hawla wala quwwata illa billah, check, I'm not having riya. I just see the purpose, what would be the best to stay away from pride and riya. You have to fight it in yourself by thinking of how good other people's deeds are. You feel like, I feel like I'm showing off because I did a good deed. Well, the solution is to look at all of the things that other people did that is far better than yours. Or all the people that, all the things that you did that are sinful. Okay? That are sinful. Sujood sahwi fi salah sunnah in the first place. To do sujood sahwi. Falin nuqsani sajdatani qabla salami ba'da tamama tashahudain. Yazidu ba'dahuma tashahudan akhar. Walil ziyada sajdan ba'da salam. وَمَنْ نَقَصَ وَزَادَ سَجَدَ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ وَمَنْ نَسِيَ السُّجُودَ الْقَبْلِ. You forgot to do sujood qabli, which you qabli, you owe it for something missing. حَتَّى سَلَّمْ, and you say salam out. سَجَدَ إِنْ كَانَ قَرِيبًا وَإِنْ طَالَ أَوْ خَرَجَ مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ بَطَلَ السُّجُودَ وَتَبْطُلُ الصَّلَاةُ مَعَهُ إِنْ كَانَ عَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ سُنَنٍ أَوْ أَكْثَرَ وَإِلَّا فَلَا تَبْطُلُ. Okay, so the answer is, if it's a short amount of time between you and forgetting the sujood qabli, before the salam, because you forgot something. You forgot one of the eight sunnahs in salah. You didn't do sujood as-sahu. You forgot, accidentally, you forgot it. If the time between remembering and the prayer is short, you just do it. If the time is long, then you don't do it, nothing. You don't have to do anything. And he said it's only if it's a sujood of sahu for one or two sunnahs that you missed. If you miss, and here's the thing I think is more theoretical, is because he says here, if you miss three or more sunnahs, and then you forgot the sujood of sahu, then the whole salah is invalid. But tell me, in practice, a guy forgot three or more sunnahs and forgot sujood of sahu, how would, this person's all over the place, how would he know that he missed three or more, right? Unless he's really keeping track, but that's the answer to the question. Khalas, thank you very much. So again, the answer to the question is, if I forgot one of the eight sunnahs, mu'akkada, in salah, then I forgot to do sujood sahu. Then if the time is near, you do sujood sahu. If a long time has passed, you don't do anything. Forgive me, this is an inappropriate question, says Irtida Sharif, or Irtida Arif. A local sheikh said that some of the habaib had a dream that the shackles of Dajjal had broken recently. Oh, Allahu A'lam, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be surprised. Should we give money to professional beggars? No. No. Panhandlers, it's not good for people to panhandle. They're harms to society. The professional beggar, you're harming society. We have them on the road of on the street corner of the masjid. On the way, they're bothering everybody. This is not just a poor person asking you once. He's a professional. This is what they do. If they don't come here, they go to another masjid. So we don't indulge in that. Muslim or non, we don't indulge that. Is the DSS intensive worth it if I'm not going to get married right now, says Mu'in al-Dugra? Well, think about this. You don't prepare for something as big as marriage the week before you get married, or even the year you get married. You should have some ideas in your head well in advance. What should I read after completing Shifa of Qadi Ayyad? I really don't know what would be like the book after that.
It's very light seerah, and then you can take what you learned and then apply.
More seerah books. There are a lot of seerah books that are not famous out there, so just don't assume that there's only like 3-4 seerah books. Read more seerah books. Spiritual and worldly advice for making a lot of money. Well, very simply, the very basics are make a lot of istighfar, sleep early, wake up early, get a mentor, sell something, be in sales. You have to be in the right ocean. You can work 100% efficiently and perfectly, and you're so skilled, but if you're fishing in a pond, you're not going to eat well. If you're fishing in a bigger lake, if you're fishing in a river, you may be the best at what you do, but if you're fishing in a small river, you're not going to do so. You're not going to eat so much. But if you're out in the ocean, you go out, what do they go, a quarter mile out or something, half a mile out, and fish there, you're going to eat a lot. So it all depends on what field you're in. So a guy who works really well as an English teacher, he will not have, it's a small pond, right? But you take the same work ethic, the same genius, and you put him maybe in Silicon Valley, or you put him in neurology, right? And he puts the same exact effort, same exact hours, or you put him in real estate, it's going to be a different story, right? So you have to pick the right pond. Can you discuss the importance of self-purification? I had a person messaging me the other day saying, listen, there's a lot of Quran teachers who are not great in their behavior. What's the reason? I said, well, I think the reason is that as an Islamic society, we've taken on a bad concept that spiritual purification is stuff for goofy people. And hence, we don't read those books. We don't honor those people. And we don't engage in that. And the idea of you need to fight your nafs is not a normal concept anymore. That's when you... which one do you want? This one? Take this one.
No, no problem. You can go ahead.
Mahmoud, you know how to close the stream? We'll close the stream right... We're going to close out right now. We got to go anyway. Spiritual purification, when you study for 5 years, how much of that time were you spent fighting your nafs? Now, there's no concept where I'm going to take, all right, a semester off. Hey, what are you doing? I'm fighting my nafs. There's no concept like that, but it's every day. It's a discussion daily. It's something that has to be done every single day. You need to expose yourself to the books, like Al-Risala Al-Qushayriya, Ihya Ulumuddin of Al-Ghazali, or the books of... many, many books on spiritual purification, fighting your ego. Whoa! I'm going to just adjust it, see what happens. I don't know. The mic is good. Adjustment's good. All right. So you got to fight your nafs. And the idea of this idea had been downgraded. And it became... like not really a subject. That's the problem. So you take a student of knowledge and you just focus on learning a whole bunch of things that are wonderful things, but the vessel may not be clean. And that's why you got to fight. You have to fight your nafs. Fighting your nafs will push so-called Overton window really far in the direction of simplicity and humility, such that indulgence is within the halal. Like the Overton window that Tasawwuf and the Sufis push the Overton window to the point that all you really need in life is a rug, a mushaf, a misbaha, an alarm clock, a cup of water. That's it. Right? And it'll take you to that level. And you get a couple dates a day, maybe a piece of a dinner once a week or something. Like they'll push it that far. But they'll focus on a lot of tasawwuf, a lot of dhikr. such that you feel the sweetness of Iman in your heart, and you genuinely, all I need is a ability to be alone with my Lord, and I'm happy, I'm satisfied. The Overton window gets pushed that far. So when that guy, when that same guy comes home and he's got his family there and they've made him a plate of dinner and they put the remote control next to him and they're sitting there watching something on TV and eating dinner, that's the height of his indulgence. Like, he almost feels semi-guilty doing that, right? That's wonderful. Because if that's what you consider indulgence, that person should be trustworthy in other things. If that's his indulgence, I'm going to eat a full plate of food, and then I'm going to eat ice cream after that. And we're going to watch this movie and laugh and talk. And that's indulgence for him. So if that's what you consider indulgence, right, then the middle will be, if that's your extreme, you're far from sins. But the truth of spirituality is not just decreasing your desires. You have to actually connect to a power outlet so that the sweetness of Iman can come to you. And most people don't really know this or believe this, but those power outlets are other people. When you interact with them, it's as if you connected into a power outlet. That's just how it is, right? What's the explanation of it from the Quran? فَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. Who is better? Someone who was dead? Or we gave him life and gave him light, and he walks with that light into the people. So when you interact with the right people, with people who have that, their extension cord is connected to the previous generation, connected to the previous generation, all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you interact with such a person, it's as if the light of that first generation has trickled all the way down to our generation. And by interacting with that person, I got some of that. And all you need is a seed. Then you go and you take care of that seed, right? Imam Malik, what's another proof of this? Imam Malik, when he said, when I felt my heart being rusty, what would I do? He said, what would Imam Malik do? He said, I used to go to Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir and a gaze at him would suffice me a number of days. So that is the proof. It's not just decrease your desire. If you take someone and you decrease his desire, it's going to get worse. But if you take somebody and you combine, decrease the desires, live simply, get used to that. But the simple life will yield you a lot of spiritual sweetness in your heart. Where do I get that spiritual sweetness from? It's from shuyukh. It's from people. What Malik said is no different than what happens today. You can take that seed and you can grow it, or you can fail to grow it and go get more seeds. Go get more, right? I can fish on my own. Someone teaches me to fish. Okay, now I'm fishing because he taught me how to fish. I had a teacher. He taught me how to fish. But if I fail, I'll go to my teacher's house and I'll eat. And I'll try to fish again. So sometimes people need more interaction with their shuyukh than others. Imam Malik said, every few days, I think one narration of his says 40 days. Like a month and a half or so, I would go sit with Muhammad ibn Muqaddir for a little bit, come back. How did the people have iman? It's because it's who they sat with. What makes a sahaba superior to everybody else? They sat with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt about that. And what makes the second generation superior to everybody else? They sat with the sahaba. So their link is less than everybody else. And the third, they have two links to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And us all the way down here, we have a lot of links back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What are we on now? Like 35 is considered a short senate? 35 links back, maybe? I have a senate that's 29. So that's where if we find that people of deen, they have a lot of knowledge, but they have misbehaviors. It's possibly, and Allah knows best, that the element of fighting your nafs and enjoying spirituality and the sweetness of dhikr. Man dhaqa halawat al-iman. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever tasted the sweetness of iman. It may not be there. Of course, we're supposed to have a good opinion of people and we're not supposed to be judgmental, but it may not be there. Hence, they get bored. And your soul is empty. So I want more. But you're trying to feed your soul through the wrong source. You're drinking salt water. You're drinking sand. So now we start going to desires. When spirituality runs out, people start turning to desires, right? And once you turn to desires in this society, the desires morph. They start morphing and they become weirder and weirder and weirder desires, right? And that's because we're trying to fill a void in our hearts that is meant to be filled by the light of revelation, meaning ibadah, dhikr, Quran, Nurullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malaika come down and they surround us, and it's as if we're feeling sakina by that. We feel sakina. I'm good right now. That's from all the malaika around us. And if we don't have that, then we start to now need to stimulate ourselves in another way. Let me scroll. Let me eat. If you stopped at scrolling and eating, you're good these days. But now we're going into 1 a.m. Now it's 2 a.m. Now let's open the fridge again. Now let's have ice cream. Now the scrolling has now entered into the haram. And now you start feeling bad. And if you stop at that, you hurt yourself, but at least you don't have a victim. Now what happens if that is left unchecked for decades? It's left unchecked. You don't even repent anymore. You just like accept it. That person's soul will morph. You see how Pirates of the Caribbean, those guys, they morphed. You guys remember that movie? They morphed, and now like shells are coming out. They're like, look like devilish sea creatures, right? They morph. So the soul starts to morph and desire more perverse things and more perverse things, all in the effort to fill a void. And that void should be filled with spirituality. So, as I said again, this may be the reason for people's misbehavior. We can't say it is, and that way we'd be passing a judgment on them. So Allah knows best, but that's what we're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, so many good questions here, but we got to run. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Yeah.